few weeks ago, I was at Roy Sampson's funeral. I know some of you were there as well. And part of that, they were showing pictures of his life, and they were also putting up quotes that he had said. He gave a lot of wisdom, and he gave them short quotes. And they put a lot of those up there for everyone to see. And one of those quotes were, "We all want things from God. Have you ever wondered what God wants from you?" And I thought that was something to think about. Well, what does God want from you? You know, this question was also presented to us at Pentecost by Mr. Knudsen. Well, one way that I'm going to talk about today that God wants us to honor Him is with the blessings that He has given to us. And one way we do this is through tithing. Now, there's examples of tithing from the beginning of the Bible. Abraham tithed, and that was in Genesis 14:18. You can write that down. Through the New Testament. And I'm going to look at one of those scriptures in Matthew 23. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Now it says there's things more important than tithing there, or just as important, but it clearly says you ought to have done these things. And I find it interesting, just as a side note, that this scripture is used by many churches to say you don't need to tithe, when Jesus himself clearly said you ought to have done this. Well, these examples, from the beginning to the end of the Bible, they're put there as an example and a lesson for us today. So, why do we tithe? What is the purpose? Well, tithing was put in place to provide funds to do a work. It shows faith on our part, and it is a form of worship to God who provides all things to us. I think it's a good time now to think about tithing. We just completed the spring holy days, we completed Pentecost, and we're kind of in this area where there's months ahead before the next feast days. And it's a time to do the work and then prepare for those next holy days coming up. I'd like to turn to Malachi 3:8. Just another scripture to show that tithing is important. And the heading on this in my Bible says, "Do not rob God." Malachi 3:8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me." So obviously, God takes this very seriously. Tithing is important, and it should be important to us as well. So I want to review this topic of tithing. You know, tithing is a part of worship, like I mentioned, and we need to have a strong idea on the principles of tithing, because they are important with our relationship to God. And we need to make sure that we're applying these principles appropriately in our lives today. And the title of this sermon is The Timeless Principles of Tithing. It's going to be in two parts. I'm going to say basically what the Bible says on how to tithe, and then look at some of the spiritual benefits that we get by tithing. And there's going to be 4 points. Now, some of this might be review, but there are many people here who are new. There's young people growing up, and these things aren't new to everybody. And maybe, if you've been hearing these sermons on tithing for your whole life, maybe somebody will ask you someday, "You tithe how much?" Or, "Why do you tithe?" Do you have a good answer for that? Can you answer appropriately? Well, hopefully this will help you. And of course, it's appropriate to make sure that we are all doing our best to live God's way of life as He would have us live. So my first point is tithing. I'm calling it tithing FAQs, tithing facts or fundamentals. What exactly is a tithe? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, a tithe simply means tenth. It's an old English word. Now, there's churches that I've heard that they say, well, we only require our members to tithe a fifth. Well, there's really no way to tithe a fifth. It doesn't make sense. Tithe means tenth. You can't tenth a fifth. If you're doing a fifth, it's fifthing, not tithing. You know? So it's simply giving back that tenth to God of what He gave you. And there's questions on how do you calculate a tenth. Well, I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy 14:22. And we'll see, what do you tithe on? In Deuteronomy 14:22, it says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year." So this was an agricultural setting that the Israelites were in, and it says to tithe on the increase that their field produced. So you might ask yourself, what is an increase? And we'll get into that. I'd also like to point out an increase, according to some of our church literature, which you can look up. There's a booklet on what does the Bible teach about tithing, lists some forms of income that are not considered increase. And that would be things like Social Security, gifts, welfare. And there's other forms listed in the booklet if you're interested in that. I suggest you look that up. I don't have time to go into all of those. But for an example for today, what is increase? Well, I'll tell you something that happened in our family this week is our dog had puppies. So we have this idea that we're going to try to teach our kids about money, and we've decided to give them one of the puppies. And just say for the example here, we tell them, well, maybe you can sell it for $100. And they're like, great. We're like, well, hold on a second. It's not exactly $100 you're getting. Just because somebody gives you $100 doesn't mean you earned $100. So they said, well, how's that? Well, there's costs involved in making money. For the dogs, there's food, there's a vet bill, there's shots, right? All these things. And it applies to any job that anyone has. There's costs that go into you making money. So let's say for this example that the cost averaged out to $15 per puppy. So the increase is $85, right? 15 from 100. So you tithe on that $85. So you would tithe $8.50 off that original $100. So hopefully that'll work for our kids, and they can see from that example kind of how these things work. So the question comes up, is tithing voluntary? Well, the church is not going to come knocking on your door. They're not going to have you disfellowshipped. Tithing is something that is between you and God. Mr. Scriber gave a sermon on tithing, actually three of them, but it was back in 2002, I believe. And this is something, a direct quote from that sermon. It says, "The church does not produce an exhaustive list of specific computational rules on how to exactly compute one's annual increase. Those matters are up to an individual to determine in his or her specific circumstances. The church merely advises individuals that they should be careful and honest with God, as He knows the heart and judges accordingly. The general guidelines included, such as in the paragraph I just gave, are simply that, general expressions of the church's understanding of increase, and in the most common situations in the world today. The church follows the biblical laws and principles to the best of its abilities under the circumstances. It is impossible to follow every law as if it were ancient Israel today. It is not possible to follow the tithing laws exactly. Thus, within the law, decisions have been made, and those administrative decisions have been made throughout the years in the church. And recently, there have been a couple of decisions made about tithing today. And one of those I'm going to mention is tithing on net. So on your paycheck, you have something, you have gross, which is the big number, and net, which is the after-tax number. There's actually a study paper just on this subject that you can find online on the UCG website. But it basically goes into that the church recommends tithing on net. So, but these kind of questions, remember, you have to answer for yourself, and they're all between you and God. The church is not keeping an eye on you. Ask yourself, what does God think? I want to look at a principle regarding this. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 20. In Proverbs 20:23. This is regarding doing business, and I'll just go ahead and read it here. It says, "Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good." So what he's saying here is that God is very concerned with fairness, and he doesn't want people trying to tip a scale in their favor. And it's that attitude. Are you trying to tip that scale so maybe you have a little more? It's an attitude that we all need to look at to see if we have, or hopefully we're trying to avoid that. So we go into the three types of tithing. Maybe you didn't know there was three types. Give a very quick overview. There have been some questions recently on this topic, and hopefully this will give some answers. So the first tithing I'm going to talk about is first tithing. Most people are very familiar with this. There's many churches who practice this form of tithing. And if somebody asks you about tithing, this is probably what they're talking about, and they might be familiar with it. I'd like to turn to Leviticus 27. And verse 30. And it says, "All the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." And that's key there, the holy tithe. And this tithe was for the Levites, which at the time, they're the ones who carried out God's work. They ran the church. And they were God's representatives. Today, we're not under the Levites or the Levitical system. Today, the church and the ministry performs the work. So that's where that tithe goes to do that work. And Christ commissioned us to take the gospel to the world. You don't turn there, but it says that in Mark 16:15. It's actually called the Great Commission. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is what my Bible says, or every person. So we have a job to do. Preach the gospel, prepare people. It's the UCG mission statement. And first tithe was set up to fund that work. Now within first tithe, they can be sent different places in the United Church of God. They can be sent to the home office, or they can be sent locally here. And if you have questions about that, you can talk to Mr. Scriber or one of the elders on how to take care of that if you're not sure. Next, I want to move on to second tithe. I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy 14:22. Now, somebody says, if you tell somebody you keep second tithe, now they're going to start looking at you funny. Most people are not familiar with this tithe. But I'd like to read about it here in Deuteronomy 14:22. It says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. In the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain, the tithe of your new wine, of your oil, and the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord, your God, always. But if the journey is too long for you, that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far for you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money, take the money in your hand, and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for ox or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. Well, that sounds great. So God, we believe that God commands us to keep the holy days. This tithe was set up so we could go enjoy those days and do what he said, to rejoice, to have a good time, to enjoy some of the luxuries of life. And I just think what a great blessing it is that God would have us want to enjoy ourselves that way and set up this tithe, that we would, you know, enjoy these things that many people in the world are not able to do. We are also warned about tithing and not to borrow from tithes, such as second tithes, in hope of paying it back, or maybe we think we don't need as much tithe, so we just don't save as much. I'd like to turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. That principle applies to us. You can't serve God and money separately. You can't put money above God. And God put these rules in place to test where our principles are. And we must serve God, not our personal desires. Now, under second tithe, I'm going to throw out a term that maybe some of you have not heard. It's been around for a while. It's called tithe the tithe. And you might say, what is that? Well, the church asks, with your second tithe, to use part of it to help others. There's actually in the back of the festival planning brochure, there's a part that says Festival Assistance Fund, and that's what that is. If you hear somebody say tithe the tithe, it's the Festival Assistance Fund. Well, the church has put this in place from biblical example as a way to help those attend the festivals who are not able to, or it also funds activities at the feast like the senior lunches. Helps people go and rejoice who might not have had the funds to be able to do that. I'd like to turn to Nehemiah 8 and see where this principle comes from. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. And I'll just give you a little background on what's going on here. The nation of Israel had just kind of rediscovered that they were supposed to be keeping the holy days. And so they're all going to go out and do this for really the first time for them. And in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And if you go down to verse 12, it says, and all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. And it's the send portions to those who were in need that is where the church gets this made this decision to have a festival assistance fund. I just want you to think about that example, and consider it. Consider what you can do to help the brethren who might not have the abundance that you have been blessed with. Now, this year there are many staying here in Tempe who could probably use assistance. I know Mr. Miller asked, how can we serve? How can we serve people? He asked that at Pentecost. Well, this tithe of the tithe might be where you can help someone be able to go to the feast or enjoy it more fully. And I know many of you are very generous with this already. But think about it. If you want to help locally, you can always talk to Mr. Scriber or Mr. Miller. And it might be mentioned again before the Feast of Tabernacles arrives. Finally, I'd like to move on to the last tithe, third tithe. And I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy 14. In verse 28. Deuteronomy 14:28, it says, at the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your land which you do. So this was talking about another tithe, a third tithe for the poor. And basically it was every 3 years in a 7 year cycle. And there's a paper on this on the UCG website, specifically on third tithe. And if you want to know more information on it, I would suggest that you go read that. But basically what it says is that modern day taxes, they're often greater than 10%. And the social systems that are set up today, they provide that food, the shelter, the basic needs of the people who are needy today. Therefore, the church has put out a statement that you're not required to keep third tithe. But read that study paper on it, and it'll give you some more information on that. And see how this applies to you. I know there are people who still third tithe, and there is a fund set up for it. And they will tell you that they receive great blessings after those third tithe years. So read that third tithe study paper. The principle there is also found in James 1:27. You don't need to turn there. But it says that we are to care for those in need. And that is pure religion. Okay. So we've covered some of those fundamentals, those facts. I'm going to move on to some of the spiritual reasons why we tithe. And this next point is tithing helps us overcome our human short-sightedness. I just want to mention that, you know, those rules, they were important, but there's more important things that we should all know about tithing. So, our human short-sightedness, this idea that I got this by my power. You know, we tend to think that this is my money, or I have money because I worked hard. Well, tithing reminds us that we should not have this attitude and makes us recognize where our blessings really come from. I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy 8. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 19. Now, this is about ancient Israel when they were going into the Promised Land. Okay, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. That's when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify you this day that you shall surely perish. So what he's telling Israel is that they do not forget where these blessings came from. In ancient Israel, they're an example for us today. They're in the Bible for a reason. It's all recorded for us. They had much. They were given great opportunity, but they were warned not to forget where those blessings came from. It was God, not their works. And we must remember that also in our lives. My next point is that tithing is a matter of faith. When you tithe, you are aligning your attitude and actions with the universal principles of the great giver God. Tithing, it reflects that unselfish and giving nature of our Creator. You know, and as with all of God's laws, it is our decision to tithe as we should or not. No one is going to force us. And we must have faith that following God and His ways are what bring blessings to our lives. I'd like to turn to Proverbs 3 and verse 9. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So God is promising great blessings if we follow Him. And right here it's talking about if we tithe. Tithing brings blessings. And we must have faith that God will follow through with His promises, which He will. And ask ourselves, do we depend on ourselves, or do we have that faith that on God and trust in Him and depend on Him? Now, for those of you who are just starting the tithe or haven't tithed, tithing can be very daunting, can be scary. You might think, how can I take 10 or 20% out of my check? I can barely make it as it is. You know, it doesn't make sense that taking this money out might help me in my life. It just doesn't make sense to the world. Well, in Proverbs, you don't need to turn there, but 14:12, there's a proverb I like to remember. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. What I'm saying is that we need to have faith in God, that God is going to take care of us and rely on Him, not man's way. You know, it's going to be God that sustains us. So remember and have faith that is God who provides. In Luke 6:38, you don't need to turn there, but it says, give and it will be given to you. God promises us that. My last point here is tithing deepens our relationship with God. You know, God, He does not need our money. Tithing has nothing to do with what God needs. It's what we need. If God wants the church to be rich, it's going to be rich. If God wants the church to be poor, it's going to be poor, no matter what we do. Tithing is about our relationship with God. It is the system set up to fund the work, but it's about much more than that. It's about our spiritual relationship with God. In the booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Tithing?, it asks a question. It says, do we say, I will give him my heart, I will give him my praise and thanks, but I will not give him my money? Something to think about. Tithing is about us realizing that God owns everything, including us. And tithing helps us develop and strengthen our relationship with God. And tithing is a very important part of our worship, as we read in Proverbs 3, where it said, honor the Lord with your possessions. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9. It talks about giving here. And tithing, it helps us build that caring attitude that we should have, that we should be developing. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it says, but I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So tithing is part of that. It's a tool that God is using to shape us into the servants that He wants us to be. Now, for those of you who have been in the church forever and you've been tithing for many, many years, do you think about it? Is tithing just one of the bills? Is it, you know, I got the electric bill, the tithing bill, the gas bill, and it just goes out the door? You know, it should be more than that. Are we learning? Are we growing in our relationship with God? You know, there's much more that can be said about tithing. There's several booklets. There's a good article in the festival planning brochure. There's 3 study papers on the UCG website. Like I said, Mr. Scriber gave 3 sermons about tithing. It was several years back. And there's an entire booklet called What Does the Bible Teach About Tithing? And of course, they're all free and able to be downloaded if anyone's interested. So tithing is important, and we need to know the basic rules. Tithing is important because God tells us to do it. It's important because it's the system that God set up to continue His work that we have been asked to do. But probably most important, it's important because it helps us have a better spiritual relationship with God. So let's remember the importance of tithing in our lives, and let's all set out to do the work that we were called to do.